With their 18th straight win, the Suns break the franchise win streak record, and they solidify themselves as one of the best Suns teams of all time. Recapping tonight, a 114-103 win by the Phoenix Suns, coming up right away here on Locked On Suns.
Network, your team every day.
We are back. This is Locked On Phoenix Suns. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Brendan Kleen, covering the Suns the past five seasons as a credentialed media member. Thank you for making Locked On Suns your first listen every single day. We are everywhere. YouTube, thank you for subscribing there. Spotify, Google, Apple, wherever you listen, and we are free. The best way to keep us that way is to listen and to watch and to subscribe. And most of you have already done that, so thank you. That's what you need to keep doing. We appreciate it. 114-103 Suns win. That's what we're here to talk about today. The show on this great Friday is brought to you by Truebill, the new app that saves you money by helping you identify and stop paying for the subscriptions that you don't want or need. And Truebill can even negotiate better deals on the ones you want to keep. We'll talk about Truebill a little bit more later. One last housekeeping note. I screwed up the giveaway for the towel. I'm realizing now YouTube does not have every subscription public. So if you don't make your subscription public, even if you're giving the support to the show by hitting that subscribe button on our videos, it doesn't always show me that you exist. So I was doing a random number generator of 1 to 500 to get one of those first 500 subscribers to get them that Valley Proud towel. Well, it wasn't actually showing everybody. So that is my bad. What I'm going to do instead is open it up to Twitter. That's at LockedOnPHXSuns or me at BrendanKleen14. What you're going to do is tweet a verification, tweet a screenshot showing that you subscribe to the show, and I will randomly pick from one of those to give a Valley Proud towel. Now that we've gotten to 500 subscribers, we're actually way past already, so I am late on that, and that's my fault. When we get to 750, another towel is coming your way. And that is it Fear the Valley? What does it say? We are the Valley, and that is black, and it says NBA playoffs. That could be yours as well. And then, of course, Kelly Oubre coming up at 1,000. But that's out of the way. We have so much to talk about from this game. I will not wait. Make you wait any longer. 114-103. The Suns dominating the first half, and then third quarter things got a little bit squeaky, and we will talk about that for sure. But the deal is here, guys. This Suns team just broke the win streak record. That's what we're here to talk about. I honestly, like, I was sitting here usually, I was sitting here longer than I usually am waiting to figure out what the best angle was here, because most of these recap shows, I start out and I'm giving you, here's what I took away from this game. And like, obviously in this particular game, the main takeaway that you could say is that the Suns beat a bad team, right? And they actually struggled with that last season. So that is kind of where I was coming at it from. But I was sitting here and I'm like, what do I really want to talk about? And I feel like I kind of jumped the gun on you guys, because going into Thanksgiving, I did a show saying that already the Suns were proving that they were one of the best teams in franchise history, not even anticipating we would actually get to this point where they would break this record, because I thought for sure they would lose to either the Knicks, the Nets, or the Warriors, and they didn't, and now they beat the Pistons, and they are owners of the record solely, one and only team to have this 18-game streak. And I talked about in that show that you look through the record books of what this streak record was shaping up with, and it's the 92-93 team, it's the 09-10 team, it's the 06-07 team. And actually, I believe they, with this win, or maybe even the Tuesday win, matched the best start in franchise history, which was the 04-05 05 team. So you look up and down, left and right, and every single part of this record that the Suns have now set with the streak and the 19-3 start to the season and on is just littered with the teams that we lift up as the best ones we've ever seen the Suns put together. And so this team now, the 2020-21 Phoenix Sun, or I'm sorry, wow, I am stuck in the pandemic season here. The 2021-22 season, I'm touching the camera, sorry everybody, has to be considered the best one. We don't know where it's going to go, and I think that's where you have to kind of separate things out, right? I mean, there is the 92-93 team and last year's team in terms of making the finals, making game six of the finals. Both of them did that. And then obviously there is the 75-76 team also. And so those ones you probably have to lift up because they did it at the highest level in the postseason. And so, yeah, 06-07 without the hip check and everything else, you're probably looking at a team that could have fought for a title. 04-05 was special in its own way, being the first Nash year, getting those 62 wins. But this team already is looking like one of the select few that this franchise has ever seen. They are on pace now for 71 wins? 71 wins? I don't think they're going to get there. I think, of course, betting on any team to win 71 games is absurd. It just is rare. I mean, only two teams have ever even crossed the 70 threshold, and they were, frankly, way more talented than this Suns team is, and way, I wouldn't actually say deeper, but they had superstar talent that this Suns team doesn't have. So I am not ready to have that conversation yet, but what I am ready to say is, as we've gone over, the franchise win record for a single season is 62. They have the win streak record now. They're probably going to be the one or the two seed and have a great chance to go back to the conference finals for a shot at an NBA finals appearance and championship. So the boxes that you need to check to put together a season that will be remembered as the best in the history of a franchise are already being checked. And obviously the playoffs, you don't always know what's going to happen, but that's the level of special that we're talking about right now, and it's been so much fun to watch. And look, I'm not willing to bet on anything. No Devin Booker, second night of a back-to-back on the road in Golden State after handing it to that team and them wanting to avenge that loss. I think that it's a tall task, but at the same time, they have faced a lot of those during this streak. You don't win this many games in a row without beating the odds a little bit. And so I'm not going to sit here and predict that they will lose against the Warriors. I will give you my thoughts on that game, though, later on in the show. I do, of course, as we always do, want to talk a little bit more about what went right tonight. And then we'll close out with a look at the bench, at Mikal Bridges, even at DeAndre Ayton, actually, to close out the show with our usual recap segments. And then just a couple moments on that Warriors game, because it is the last time that we will get to talk here this week, so we won't get to really preview that game or recap it right away like I might like to do. So that game is on national TV. I want to talk about a little bit about that, but we got to get to Landry Shamet here when we're talking positives. I mean, he is the logical place to start, filling in for an injured Devin Booker, missing his first game with that left hamstring injury. So we'll get right to it. Truebill is the new app that helps you identify and stop paying for subscriptions that you don't need, want, or simply forgot about. Because free trials renewing without your consent is unfortunately just the way of the world, and it's a massive business scam. So again, Truebill cuts that out. On average, people save up to $720 per year when they use Truebill. Because companies make those subscriptions so hard to cancel, Truebill tries to flip that on its head, make it incredibly simple for you. Just link your accounts, and Truebill will cancel your unwanted subscriptions in just one tap. Plus, your Truebill's concierge is there when you need them to cancel your unwanted subscriptions, so you don't even have to think about it. It will monitor that stuff for you, and look, it'll tell you, hey, look, is this something you're actually using or no? Truebill has over 2 million users and has already saved them over $100 million. So don't fall for subscription scams. Start canceling today at truebill.com/lockedonNBA. Go right now, truebill.com/lockedonNBA. Could save you thousands per year. That's truebill.com/lockedonNBA. Landry Shamet, starting this game, so in the second half of the Warriors game when Booker was out, Cam Johnson was the guy who basically started. I mean, he started the second half. In this game, though, the Suns went a little bit more traditional. Landry Shamet was the guy to start. And as I talked about with Matt Moore, Hardwood Paroxysm on Twitter, heading into this game on my Thursday show, I felt like this was an opportunity for Shamet to really hit the ground running, to get that sort of spark that he needed, because he hasn't been bad this year. I think going into this game, he was shooting 38% from deep. He made 4 of 8 tonight. Nothing to, you know, cast aspersions on. However, I think that Shamet, he really needed this. And so 14 points from him, 4 of 8, like I said, from deep, 5 of 11 overall from the field. Was this the best game I've ever seen? A two-guard play? No, I mean, of course not. But he's not going to be Devin Booker, right? That's the difference here. So 1 assist for him, and honestly, only 23 as a team. I don't know if we should expect that, but I think the team's going to look a little bit different, and I think that's what we saw. And the fact that Shamet was still able to be successful, the Suns' offense was still able to put up 69 points in that first half, and they obviously won the game, shows that they can still succeed this way. So all in all, I feel like you have to sort of tip your cap to Shamet with all of that considered, right? I mean, he filled his role, made his open shots, and the Suns won the game. I don't know what else you really could be asking for, honestly. So he is the number one positive to start with, but that's also in large part because we take so much of the rest of this for granted. So I don't really want to do that. So I guess I'll quickly sort of go through, and then I want to highlight Cameron Payne, who put up another big game here. But Mikal Bridges actually took the most shot attempts on the team, tied with Payne. That's good to see. Talk about him a little bit more in the next segment when it comes to that. 4 steals for him. He was pretty successful guarding Jeremy Grant a lot of the night. He was also guarding Cade Cunningham at times, Killian Hayes at times. I believe I lose track sometimes. They switch so much and whatnot. I remember Grant a lot. And yes, he put up 34 points, but unfortunately, guys, I have to play the empty stats card. We here in the Valley don't love that after years of hearing it about Devin Booker, but I would not read too much into the 34 points that Jeremy Grant put up. I still think Mikal had a pretty strong night, and then the team defense with those 4 steals. You had DeAndre Ayton, 17 and 12. He was incredibly effective, especially in that first half when the Suns were really rolling. The Pistons don't have any size at all. Their backup center is Trey Lyles. Their starting center is Isaiah Stewart. Last season, they had too many centers. Now they have 0 of them. I don't know exactly what's going on there, but Ayton took advantage. And then, of course, Chris Paul. That's going to be the tip of the spear. That's going to be the thing from which everything else derives. He is going to be that guy while Devin Booker is out, even more than he already has been this season. And he had 12 and 12. And then, of course, in that fourth quarter, got where he needed to go for a couple of big jumpers and helped close out the game. So the regular recipe was still working, but I do want to just highlight that Shamet shot pretty darn well. I mean, made 1/2 of his 3s on a high volume and just filled that role. I mean, he is a guy who's going to continue to be moving. He can attack a closeout. I mean, he didn't have a lot of assists or 2-pointers tonight, but he can do that. That's the next part that you want to really see click in for him. And obviously, again, getting that W, I think he's proven he's going to stay in that spot. I do want to add, though, Monty Williams did say post-game that despite Shamet's big game, solid game, he was impressed. He liked what he saw from that unit. He did say, while Booker's out, that we could see changes to that starting lineup night to night. So even with all of that said, we might see a change depending on how things go. The other positive to talk about here is Cameron Payne, because I talked about him in the Warriors recap. He played well again tonight, and I don't know what to expect from him the rest of the season, because I do think we're seeing a little bit of a regression in terms of the 3-point shooting. You look at how he shoots and even you look at his shot selection, and it's not crazy to think that those shots are going to maybe not fall at a 40%+ rate going forward every single season. Maybe the bubble and last season were not a fluke, but, you know, a little bit embellished, we'll say. So what you do still get from him is the downhill attack. And I really think that's something where his emergence and the addition of JaVale McGee, that second unit can just feel, I mean, right now it doesn't even have all of its pieces, and it can feel so overwhelming. You know, Monty has talked a lot about it, and Payne has explained his side of this too lately, which is that last season, it worked very well, and the second unit was still very good, and Payne had a solid season, but it was with Dario Saric, who really, in a lot of ways, was acting as somewhat of a point guard. So the fact that we've seen, you know, maybe lower assist total and some stops and starts at the beginning of the year here for Payne shouldn't necessarily surprise anybody when you look at it from that angle, because what he's doing is different. And I think the overwhelming kind of level that they're getting to, him and McGee together, is with Johnson spacing the floor and Shamet obviously prior to his elevation to the second unit, is a good place for them to get, right? The fact that they can, you know, shove it down your throat, that they can escalate the tempo and the pace, pile on buckets, and really get the crowd going, that's exciting and interesting and different than maybe we saw last year. So I don't think it's a coincidence that it maybe took him a few games, but I also don't think it's a coincidence that he's now clicking. He's a great player for his role, and he fits here. He knows the system. He knows what he's doing. This is really year three for Payne in terms of, you know, running this offense, knowing what he needs to do, and getting consistent playing time. So what he was earlier on, I didn't buy, and I think this is probably closer to what he's going to be. Maybe we don't see the three-pointer as such an effective part of his arsenal. Maybe the assists do go down, but he's still going to be able to drive and kick and create and playmake, and that's really all he needs to do. So shout out to him. Shout out to Landry Shamet. We'll get to more details on the rotation, on the bench, a little bit more on Mikal Bridges based on what Monty said post-game. Then I don't know. I kind of want to touch on DeAndre Ayton's free throw shooting because tonight was a little bit of an anomaly. So we'll get to all of that. What we'll get to first, though, is Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever and my favorite protein bar. A new, coming soon, a new member of the Valley family. Look for that in 2022. They will be going into more stores. They will have a distribution center here. And that's what I'm very excited about. But before you have to worry about any of that, Built Bar is celebrating the holidays just like the rest of us. This holiday season, grab the protein bar that tastes just like a candy bar or even better than a candy bar. And you get the best of both worlds, delicious and healthy. So many flavors you'll have a hard time choosing. Raspberry, mint brownie, cherry, double chocolate, cookies and cream, peanut butter. They're all delicious, but it can be hard to choose sometimes. Built Bar gives you that extra feel you need to bust down those mall doors and battle the holiday shoppers. Or if you're just standing in endless shopping lines, Built Bar can give you that extra something to keep you going. We're all around family more this year, or celebrating the holidays in a little bit closer to a normal way. And that means you're probably going to be busier. So because it's the season of peace and love, don't bring up your favorite Built Bar flavor at family parties. People are so passionate about their favorite flavor, they'll fight for it. And honestly, maybe they don't have the expertise that you have, so they don't maybe know about Built Bar. And you might get a look. You might get a look like you're having a Built Bar instead of another cookie. But yes, we are. Those of us who have committed to the cause and are addicted to these things know that they can be just as good. So go to Built.com, use promo code LOCK15 when you make your order to get 15% off. Again, that's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. Few more thoughts on the Suns 114-103. Win over the Detroit Pistons, 18 straight, solidifying themselves in Suns history books. Thank you for making Locked On Suns your first listen every single day. Throughout this streak, throughout a finals run, man, whew, sometimes you just sit back and it's like, this team has spoiled the hell out of us who watch them every day. Honestly, the bubble, winning every game there, taking it down to the wire of almost making the playoffs in the bubble. And then you have this Chris Paul trade and then the fairy tale season that followed and now right into breaking the win streak record. It's frankly absurd. And I have loved being around for it with you guys, at least ever since the Chris Paul trade. I did not get to be around for the bubble, but this has made up for it. And the couple of last thoughts here, starting with the bench mob vibe check, which we do every single day, basically at this point. Rotation-wise, a couple things to note that are pretty obvious right off the bat. Ish Wainwright debuted 4 minutes, looked pretty good. His defense can hold up. He made a nice hit-ahead pass. I think he will at least play tomorrow. Like, he's a guy who he didn't screw up. He brought energy. He executed what he needed to be. Defenses did not cover him. Jeremy Grant was helping off of him. Like, that's all going to be a conversation for a different day. But without Nader, without Booker, he will continue to play, I think. The other obvious one is Cam Johnson. More minutes tonight than Jay Crowder, closed the game over Jay Crowder. Now, I do think it's logical and smart that a guy over the age of 30 like Crowder, who has played in back-to-back marathon seasons, we know his minutes are going to be held in check. He's not always been a starter in his career, so, you know, this is the range that he's used to playing, but I did think it was notable that he came in for the 7 to 8 minute mark in the fourth quarter, and then actually left the game after that so that Cam could close. I think Monty liked that Cam was in a groove, was playing with good energy, and obviously was making his shots tonight. So interesting to note. I don't think that's going to be just be the norm from now on, but coupled with the fact that Monty did say that we could see that starting lineup fluctuate, maybe we do see Cam Johnson start, not over Crowder, but over Shamet, and then, you know, who closes is an open question. So interesting, and Johnson, another guy who has really started to click, just like Payne, just like Shamet. I told you guys this all would come and not to worry early on when things were looking a little awkward, and we're seeing the dividends be paid there. How many field goal attempts did Mikal Bridges have? That is my excuse to talk about Mikal Bridges after we had the Bridges breakout watch last season. He has done broken out. We don't need to do that anymore, but it is interesting sometimes to just go ahead and look at the role he's playing on the offense. So he did take 14 attempts tonight. He took 4 threes, made 2 of them. So the three-point shooting is always going to be there. But the other stuff was interesting. You know, the game wasn't played at an incredible pace by any means. It was pretty slow, honestly. Suns only had 10 fast break points. They only had 15 points off turnover. So it wasn't like Mikal was necessarily, you know, leaking out and getting a ton of transition baskets. So, you know, it's just going to be something to monitor. Are they going to feature him? Is he suddenly going to be running a bunch of pick and roll just because Devin Booker is out? No, I don't think that that's what's going to happen. We didn't see that tonight. That's not his game. That's not what the Suns do. That's not going to be what happens. But, you know, if he can just be a little bit more aggressive and get a few more of those extra shots here and there during this stretch, maybe that does something for his confidence. Maybe that, you know, gives him the reps that he needs in some of those different scenarios. So obviously we will all be watching that pretty closely. The other thing here is DeAndre Ayton's field goal or free throw shooting. And he had 7 in the first half, I believe, attempts. And his career high is actually 14, which I always end up being surprised by. I look it up like once a month whenever he has one of these games where it's getting on the higher end. And I'm kind of like, wow, are we going to see a record here? But he had one in his, I think, his rookie season where he had 14 free throw attempts in a game, made 10 of them against the Lakers. So he's not going to break that anytime soon. He clearly didn't tonight. But the other weird part of this, and I don't know if you guys have noticed it actually in the stats, and I know I haven't talked about it, but, you know, we're 450 minutes in. He, of course, is such a low attempt player, and he's actually even down a little bit this year. So it's not like it's a huge sample, but he's attempted 29 free throws. He's only made 17 of them, and that was before this game. So now he's up to, he's 20 of 36, getting even closer to 50%. I don't think it's a pattern, but if you give teams a reason to hack you in crunch time, they will do that, you know? So we do the how many free throw attempts did DeAndre Ayton take thing. I mean, I haven't really been doing it this year. It was more of a segment last season, and I think we all kind of realize what type of player he is. He doesn't need to rely on that so much, but especially in a night where he was playing well, was involved in the offense, and was getting to the line pretty assertively, for him to still have a 3-of-7 night was a little bit interesting to me. And I won't say concerning yet, but I do think if that becomes part of the scouting report, if we get, you know, maybe halfway through the season, 40 games in, and he's still hovering, you know, below 60%. I mean, this is a guy who for his career has been at 75. So if this starts to look like a down season and teams notice that, and they're especially looking to get any edge that they can get in crunch time against the Suns, I don't think it's crazy to imagine that that might be a, you know, back pocket type of thing for opposing coaches who come and play the Suns thinking, huh, you know, Faiton's off one night on offense, or, you know, everything else is going awesomely for the Suns and another team wants to throw off their rhythm and challenge Ayton. I don't know. I don't know what to make of why his free throw shooting is down so far. But it's long enough into the season where I feel like I can at least say it and notice it and acknowledge it, and I think other teams will too. So that's all I had, emptying the notebook there in that last segment. Hopefully you guys enjoy that. I need to come up with some fun ones. I had last year, I think it was the Facundo Campazzo All-Stars. I can't remember what I called it, but it was Willie Cauley-Stein, it was Brooke Lopez, it was all these guys that got clowned by Chris Paul. I feel like what I need to do here is when Booker comes back, maybe you guys can remind me, what I want to do is have a segment where, or at least a little mini segment in the recap shows where it's these defenders that Booker, that are supposedly elite defenders that Booker just isn't even fazed by. I mean, you can add Ben Simmons to that list from last season. You can add all sorts of guys. Andrew Wiggins, I wish we could have seen that in the Tuesday game. But anyway, that's something to chew on going forward. We'll see if I can throw that in there. Thank you guys for making Locked On Suns your first listen here on this Friday, or your weekend maybe, as you are getting back into the groove following last holiday weekend where we were all able to lounge out for a little bit more. Shorter one this week. Hopefully you guys can savor the win. We'll see what happens against the Warriors. I will be back for you guys Monday talking about that game, talking about whatever happens between now and then. We'll see what goes on, because this injury situation is probably the biggest subplot. Ish Wainwright is all fun and good, but you know, everybody's playing a lot of minutes, and Nader and Kaminsky are racking up missed games. They have not announced anything with Nader. We don't know when Booker's coming back, so something to chew on going into the weekend. We don't need to open the can of worms here, but that's what my mind will be on in addition to this Warriors game. Enjoy that game. Enjoy the weekend, guys. I'll talk to you guys on Monday.